York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Here we are, and happy Thursday to you. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this 21st day of June, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and let's talk. You want to talk about cars? Because of there's a lot going on with cars, and I was just explaining to some people here that I've told you before that I have a Lexus. I have a Tesla. I've got a Lexus as well, but I got a Tesla, and I leased that car because I didn't know 3 years ago what was going to happen with Teslas if they were, you know, I had no idea. It was brand new idea, brand, you know, new technology, new everything. Anyway, I love the car. And so my lease came due. So this past weekend, I went and got a new one. And guess what? It doesn't have an AM radio. It does not. And I mean, it's a little close for me. I mean, I've been in the radio business for a long time, and I'm going, where's the AM radio? And they looked at me like I was, you know, some dinosaur, and going, AM radio? They almost turned their noses up at me, but it's got FM, and it's got XM, and it has TuneIn. And there's a lot. I found one of the local radio stations that I know I get my traffic on, not only my GPS in the car, but also on my phone. But I also, I'm old fashioned. I still like to get a traffic report from somebody at, so I'm one of the local radio stations. I went, oh, I get my traffic report from WABC or 1010 Winds or one of those, and they're AM stations. How am I going to do this? So I found an FM station that is part of the cluster of 1010 Winds, and that shows up where they have these HD subcarriers, and I pushed one of those, and there's 1010 Winds. So I found a workaround. And then the other workaround is WABC is on TuneIn. I could push that, and then it would come up. And so I'm listening through the internet to the AM stations that I like to listen to, but it's a whole workaround thing. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, BMW, but I think BMW also, the new models are not do not have AM radio. So for all of us in the radio business, people are going to have to figure out how to connect with you. And that's why a lot of radio stations, AM stations, have an FM sister station or simulcast. So it was quite the surprise when I went, whoa. So I figured it out, and I guess there's probably some AM stations I won't be able to find. But most AM stations now you can find on the internet, and my car connects to the internet. So I'm listening to AM radio, not off of a tower, but off of the internet. Kind of a brave new world out there. So then what got me thinking about talking about cars this hour is talks about, remember we talked about trade and the trade wars and President Trump's, you know, ratcheting up the trade wars, and we started off with $50 billion. Now it's going to be $200 billion. All this, and the biggest problem, the automaker that's having the biggest problem out of this, well, there's three of them, are the German automakers: Volkswagen, BMW, and Mercedes. And the way it works is, we send a car to the European Union, and the European Union puts a 10% tariff on U.S.-made cars. But we buy a car made in the European Union, and we put a 2.5% tariff on those cars. So President Trump is beefing up the tariffs to where they're going to have to, the tariffs are going to be a lot higher for European cars, especially German cars coming into the U.S. And they sell a lot of German cars here. So what they're, they also, by the way, as you know, make a lot of cars here. And German automakers have employed 116,000 Americans here in the United States making German-branded cars, but they're made in the USA. There's a number of them, like Mercedes SUVs, which are made here and then exported to China. So now there's a big problem because China is going to put a big tariff on U.S.-made automobiles going to China. And so these Mercedes is getting walloped. So now the German automakers, BMW, Mercedes, and Volkswagen, are all now proposing, hey, why don't we just not have any tariffs? We won't have any tariffs on your cars made in the U.S., and you won't have any tariffs on our cars that we make in Europe. So I don't know where this trade war is going to go. And I know that a lot of you think that Donald Trump is the best negotiator ever. And if he can get the German automakers to say, we are not going to have any tariffs on U.S. cars, and we reciprocate to where we go 0%, no tariffs, then now we've moved in the right direction. And you got to give Trump credit on all that, even if you hate him. You got to give him credit, if that, because that's what Germany's proposing. They're getting clobbered by these tariffs on their automakers. And the auto tariffs, I mean, it's not a little bit of money. It's a lot of money because of the fact that cars are not 50-cent items. They're expensive. So the tariffs that President Trump was going to impose on tariffs on imported cars is about $54 billion from European car exports to the U.S. Germany is 34 of that $54 billion. So that's why the Germans are squealing, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. So all of a sudden, the president has called these companies on the carpet, and they've gotten away with it for years and years and years. And now they are yelling, please don't impose tariffs on us, and we won't impose tariffs on you. Porsche, another one. Audi, another one. BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen. So we'll see where this the trade war goes, but it's already getting the Germans to throw in the towel and say, okay. We're going to charge nothing if you charge nothing. So that hasn't been done yet, but that is what they're talking about. Then I saw an ad earlier today, speaking of automobiles, and talk about the brave new world, and talk about the fact that online sales and sales tax and the Supreme Court reversing a mail order catalog ruling from 1992. What's a mail order catalog, Daddy? Well, never mind. It's too complicated. So I saw this ad for Turo. Now, I'm not doing an ad for them, but I guess they're getting an ad out of it because I'm talking about them. I did not know who Turo was. T-U-R-O. They rent cars. Okay, so does Hertz. So does Avis. Yeah, I know. But this is, they rent cars from people. It's like Airbnb, where you rent a car from somebody. Somebody puts their car, registers their car into this Turo system, and I'm looking at it right now. You can rent a Rolls Royce for $38 a day. It's an old one. You can rent a Mercedes-Benz E-Class for $106 a day. You can rent a Chevy Camaro for $90 a day. These are people that have put their cars. Here's a Ford Mustang for $46 a day. People have registered their cars as you can rent my car. They say choose from thousands of cars in 4,700 cities and 300 airports around the U.S., Canada, Germany, and the U.K. So this thing's big. I don't know who's behind it. I'll have to figure that out. But would you rent some stranger's car? You meet the person, they give you the keys, and you drive off. Would you rent your car to a stranger? Turo is just the middleman. So you say, sure, I'll rent that Rolls Royce for $38. And you go and you get the keys for the Rolls Royce and you never come back again. How do you know they're going to come back? So you pick up your rental, or maybe if the person's nice, they'll deliver it to you. You can choose from all kinds of makes and models that are out there. Is this going to work? This is Airbnb for your automobile. And speaking of Airbnb, have you ever used Airbnb? And have you ever rented your place out to people, strangers? Or have you ever rented a stranger's house? Now we're getting into strangers' cars. Would you rent a stranger's car, or even more dicey is, would you rent your car to a stranger? And what would your insurance company say? And it just so happens I see on their website their insurance partner is Liberty Mutual. So I guess you got to call Liberty Mutual and say, hey, I want to rent my car out to strangers. What do you make of that? Would you do it? Have you ever done it? Have you ever used Airbnb? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Brave New World. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
They talk about the gig economy, and I saw a story recently where the gig economy is over, and I'm going, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. The Uber and Lyft drivers and all of that. But the Airbnb model, there are places that are having fits. Cities are passing rules and regulations because the rules are being pushed because of the hotel industry is threatened by you renting out your house or your apartment or your condo or whatever it is that you have. They don't want you doing that to people. People coming in from out of town. But have you ever done it? Basically saying, hey, my house is open for strangers. Now they've changed that to cars. And would you be comfortable renting out your car? Huh? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Sean in California. Hello, Sean.
Hi, Don. How are you today?
Doing great. What do you think?
So I love it. My wife and I have been doing it for 3 years now, and there's a lot more to it than you think. You're not just renting out a house to a stranger. You have the opportunity to set up parameters to the kind of people that you want at your house, the amount of time they've been on Airbnb. You can pre-scram a little bit. But we've had great success. We've met people from over 25 different countries. We have contacts all over the world where we can travel to. It gives us a chance as hosts to be the kind of host that we would want a hotel to be to us.
So let me ask you, are you talking about your home house, or are you talking about, do you have a rental or a condo or
an
apartment?
We have both. We have our home. We have a four-bedroom house, and we have two bedrooms that we don't use for ourselves. So we have fixed them up, and we rent those two rooms out. There's one bathroom, and so we rent one room for one bathroom. We don't rent them both at the same time. And then we also have a home next door to us that we manage, and we rent that on Airbnb. So when you have larger groups, a family or whatever in the wintertime that want to go skiing, we rent out the house.
But they're next door, so you can kind of keep track of what's going on.
Yes, we can keep track of it. And we've had a few issues with the house, with people that have been in the house, but Airbnb is great to work with. If we have issues, we take pictures, we contact Airbnb.
What do you mean issues? What do you mean issues?
Sometimes the issues that we've had have been just messiness. When they leave the house, they don't strip the sheets. They leave trash. They leave food in the refrigerators. Sometimes we live up in the snow. So sometimes, or once we've had a customer that damaged the driveway, trying to get out of the driveway with the chains on. And, you know, we explained to them, you need to back down, you can't drive down. And we have rules that we send them ahead of time as to how the house needs to be maintained. And sometimes they violate that. And so Airbnb takes care of that for us. We're considered super hosts. We've been doing it, like I said, for 3 years. And it's just a great opportunity for us to meet people. And, again, to be the kind of host that we would want a hotel to. That's why the hotel is so threatened.
When I stay at a hotel, I don't have to take the trash out afterwards. The maid service comes and cleans up. So,
sure. Our house, we don't require them to clean up like that. But in the house rental, we do. We have rules that, you know, you need to take out your trash, put in the garbage can. There's some basic cleanliness things that we ask them to do. But we take care of the laundry. We ask them to strip the beds and just take out whatever trash they bring in, they take out. So we take care of everything else. We clean the counters, the stove, everything, and we provide them with a nice clean house. We just ask
So you're renting out a bedroom. You're renting out a bedroom in your house, right?
Yes.
So you and your family are sleeping in that house, and you got some stranger in the house.
Yes.
Little creepy
and
at all?
Our strangers, our people. No, we have had no issues. We've got people, most of them are from Europe. They come to our house to go to Yosemite. They're young, they're travelers. They do this all over Europe. It's a big thing.
And you have a lock? Do you have a lock on your lock on your bedroom door?
We have a lock on our door. We have a lock on some of our closets. But the guests that we've had, we've never felt the need to protect ourselves like that. I mean, we're not naive, but we interact with them. We get a feel for them. We really know our guests when they get there. When they leave, they're new friends. And we love it.
I don't know if I'd be comfortable with somebody sleeping down the hallway from me. I really don't.
Well,
you've got
everybody's different. But
I get more power to you, man. Wow. Well, you making money off of it?
Enjoy it. Yes, we are, and that's really what the neat thing about Airbnb is. We don't. If you wanted to rent our house or our room, you don't talk to us directly. You go through Airbnb.
Interesting. I got to run, but Sean, thank you.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, you sure are. Hi, how are you? Wow, just checking out. I mean, it's a brave new world out there between Airbnb, where you can rent. I'm sorry, the guy that just called, more power to him. I would not sleep a wink if some stranger was in a bedroom down the hall from me. Oh my gosh, what? I mean, can you walk around in your underwear? What? I mean, I don't know what you got to get up. It's too brave for me. I'd rather go to a hotel. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Val in Calistoga, California. Beautiful. I mean, you're talking about Napa, the northern end of Napa Valley. You got that's a destination location where you are, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Tom, to address your concerns about safety, you are absolutely right. That was one of our biggest concerns. We've been Airbnb hosts since 2014. We've hosted over 250 people in our home.
Whoa.
And we've only had one problem. But to address your issue of safety, one thing you ought to know is that Airbnb verifies every single guest and every single host so that if there is anything derogatory or negative about a guest, it goes on their record and becomes public record, so everyone sees it. So
does it have my criminal record in there, or is it I was a nice guy the last time I stayed at somebody's house? I mean, how do you know I'm not an axe murderer?
Well, you know, that's an element of trust there for sure. But I will tell you, after doing this for 3.5 years, it's literally saved our bacon financially. I became disabled in 2013, and if it wasn't for Airbnb, and our house is such that they can basically stay on one end of the house and we stay at the other end of the house, and many times we never even see the guest. They just come in late, they leave early, and we've just made a couple $100. So it works out really, really well, especially
wow.
for people who...
Well, good for you. Good for you. And yes. Like I said, Calistoga, if you don't know, folks, where Calistoga is it fair to say north end of Napa Valley? I mean, you're really...
Absolutely.
Your own area, but I mean, it's just so beautiful in there. And
it's one of the most beautiful spots on the planet.
And
the other thing you ought to know is that Airbnb has a $1 million policy guaranteed so that if you have any challenges with damage or stolen property, Airbnb steps up and covers it.
Oh, yeah. What do you do about that? I saw a story the other day that people that fly on these really expensive first class flights to the Middle East and things where they've got all kinds of things in these suites now on these airplanes. Cost an arm and a leg to take them, but that the airlines are having a fit because people are walking off with all of the products. They're stuffing their bags. So do you make sure that what you have that they can get is not something that they're going to take your towels and all that sort of thing
with
them?
Actually, it's interesting that you say that, and I won't take up a lot of your time, but the only bad situation that we've ever had, and there's only literally been one, is we had somebody come in, and they were the first-time guests. We took our chances on them, and they did steal about $5,000 worth of property from us. But, you know, we
Whoa.
Had pictures. Airbnb stepped up. They covered the whole thing, and we didn't have any challenges. So, you know, they've done a phenomenal job with this whole security thing. It's just amazing, the service that they provided. And when you think about it, the other disadvantage we have is we live in an HOA, so they've come down a little bit on Airbnb as well.
Yeah.
Primarily because of the parking. That's the main issue right there, parking and people being a little too rowdy. But overall, it's been a tremendous experience. We have people coming in tonight for 2 days. We verified them. They're a young couple looking for a wedding venue. And like your previous caller said, these become friends. These people become friends, and they're from all over the world. And we've had repeat people come in, and it's just been an amazing... amazing situation.
So it's a B&B. So if I stay at your place, is breakfast served at 7 in the morning, or what happens? Is that part of it?
You know what, Tom? That is the other misnomer. I would bet you that 95% of the Airbnb hosts never serve breakfast.
Oh, shoot.
So it is.
I was hoping for some scrambled eggs in the morning, but I guess not. So.
Well, that's out there. Believe me, we've got several people in our neighborhood who actually throw in a breakfast, and of course, the people pay for it. But most people don't want it. You know what? Most people are looking for is just clean sheets, a place to lay their head. They can come in late and leave early, and go on about their business. And that's 90% of the business right there.
Interesting. My very first apartment when I moved out of my parents' home was to a home with an older couple, and it was a big giant home, and they had a fully furnished basement. They had an upstairs with, like you said, a couple different ways that you can close doors off and everything else. It was like a boarding house, but it was great.
Yeah.
I had my own entrance. I never saw them. I never saw anybody else. I came and went. Young guy.
There you go. There you go. That's a perfect Airbnb house right there, buddy.
Well, this is, so let me try the car thing on you. Would you rent your car out to somebody?
Never.
No? Because it's got wheels.
They can take the car away. They can't take my house.
Yeah.
They can't take my car.
But that car has wheels, and you may never see it again.
Exactly. No, I think that one's going to end up
not
failure.
Working.
I really don't. No, I just don't see a contribution out here in Sacramento,
man. Thank you. I got to go. But Dal, thank you. I appreciate the information. Very interesting. Let's get Sandy in here from... we have time? Yeah, we got time. What happened to the phone? There it goes. Sandy in California. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there.
Hi. What you got?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that we had a wonderful experience. We went to Hawaii last September with a bunch of the family, and we needed to rent a car because we wanted to go around the island. And so we called, a place to rent one of the big, companies.
Yeah.
And it was so expensive. So at the hotel, they told us about, it's called Turo. It's an app. And you can actually
That's what I'm talking about. This is amazing.
It was awesome.
You did it.
It was awesome. I did it, and we actually rented two vans because we had such a big family.
Yeah.
And it was so great. I actually, from our hotel, we picked up one. We just walked down the road, picked up one. We had to make sure that it was filled up with gas when we returned it because it was full. We had to keep it clean, and then they gave us a certain amount of miles. And then we had to drive them to go pick up the other rental car, and that was probably about 4 miles away.
So let me ask you a question. So you rented a car from a person, not a company, from a person.
Yes.
Would you rent your car to somebody?
Yeah. I wouldn't rent my house, but
well, the last guy would rent his house because it doesn't have wheels, but your car may never come back again.
Yeah, hey, let them have it. They can have it. That's what I have insurance for. I'd rather have my life than,
That's a very good point.
No, I don't want anyone in my home. I would just not, I couldn't sleep. I could not sleep.
I'm
at
with
night.
You.
The car.
Let them have it if they want to take it.
Oh.
All right. I got to hit a break. But, Sandy, thank you. It's very funny. We'll be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Real estate broker license number 0127-5449, NMLS number 280404, Equal Housing Lender.
Wow, I was just looking at some of these Airbnb places here in Manhattan. There's a lot of them. There's no question about it. But the prices, man, they're not cheap. And some of them, I mean, if you don't know the neighborhood, they all look fine in the photos. I'll guarantee you that. Some of them, Wi-Fi, kitchen, hair dryer, shampoo. I don't know if I want. I don't want somebody in my shower using the shampoo and hair dry. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just an old stick in the mud. But I'm looking at some of these things and I'm going, here's one, entire apartment on Fifth Avenue. Two beds for $300 a night. So that's for $300 times 30 for a month. That's $9,000. I don't know. I mean, I know that's about a hotel price, I guess. But I'd rather have the maid service. I'd rather have the room service. I'd rather have restaurant downstairs. I'd rather, I don't know. These seem, everybody has different taste. I know that. What's this one? Studio Empire State Building on Fifth Avenue. $171. Oh my gosh, it's a little tiny little hole in the wall. But $171 a night. So the people that own these things, I wonder if they ever really stay there or whether they just bought them and they're renting them out on Airbnb. I wonder if there's a rule against that. There probably is some city. This city has so many regulations, I'm sure there's a rule against all of that. All right, well, while you're traveling on your renting your car, I'm with the last lady who, okay, so you steal my car. I presume that's covered by insurance. I don't care. Car's a car. Who cares? It's just a piece of metal. Go get another one. Insurance covers it. But how is people sleeping down the hallway from you? That's a little creepy to me. But if you're traveling in your stolen car and staying who knows where, you might want to put Canada on the list, because Canada is recreational marijuana will soon be legal in the entire nation of Canada. The Canadian Senate passed a historic bill with a vote of 52-29, so it wasn't even close. They are the second country in the world, first G7 nation, to implement legislation to permit a nationwide marijuana market. So here in the U.S., we've got 9 states and the District of Columbia that have allowed for recreational marijuana, 30 states that allow for, wink, wink, medical marijuana, and now Canada, the whole darn country. It's known as the Cannabis Act, and it stems from a campaign pledge by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to keep marijuana away from underage users. Well, how's that going to work? The act to legalize the recreational use of weed was first introduced in 2017, passed the House of Commons last November. The Senate passed the final hurdle in the process yesterday. The only other country where you can go that the whole country allows marijuana is Uruguay. So for some of you travelers that are looking at Uruguay as a place to go, they've had legalized marijuana there since 2013. I don't understand. Justin Trudeau sent out a tweet. It's been too easy for our kids to get marijuana and for criminals to reap the profits. Today we change that. Our plan to legalize and regulate marijuana just passed the Senate. So, okay, if it's been too easy for your kids to get marijuana, how is this going to keep them from getting marijuana? It would seem like it would still be Louis on the corner is still selling marijuana. What this says to me is the criminals are reaping the profits, and instead of the criminals reaping the profits, Justin Trudeau wants government to reap the profits. So it's a government grab. It's another tax that they want to keep the money. But if it's legal in the country, do you have to buy it only from a government-licensed marijuana dealer? So that the government is sure to get their money? Because otherwise, I still think they'll probably do like a lot of states where they'll put a huge tax on it to the point where the street dealer is probably still going to do just fine, because the street dealer's prices are probably going to be a lot less because they won't have a tax. So it's like this Airbnb and this Turo and all these other places. People like to do business directly with, shall we say, the dealer. The person. They don't want to get out there and start getting caught up in some big retail operation. So Canada is, I don't know when it's going to be in effect, but what's this? Jody Wilson-Raybould historic milestone for progressive policy in Canada. So we shift our approach to cannabis. This legislation will help protect our youth from the risk of cannabis while keeping profits out of the hands of criminals. Same thing. I don't know who this is. She must be a lawmaker in Canada. Jody Wilson-Raybould. But it's the same thing. Somehow they're trying to buffalo you by saying, well, this will keep pot out of the hands of children, of kids, or youth. No, it won't. You're just grabbing the money from the, instead of the street dealer, you're going to try and get it yourself. Which is what Airbnb is doing. They're just cutting the middleman out. Once again, wow, we're down again today. Eighth day in a row in which the Dow has dropped. I think you have to go back to like the 1970s to find a streak this long. It's been a while. 8 days in a row. Market down, the Dow down 196. The Dow now at 24,461. The S&P down 17. The NASDAQ down 68. The price of oil at $65. And gold down again, down to $1,269 an ounce. On the comment line, this caller is not worried about being safe in an Airbnb.
What do you mean you wouldn't want somebody down the hall from you sleeping that you didn't know? Hey, you go to hotels, don't you?
Yeah. They have security guards. They got door locks. They've got, you know, I don't see people walking down the hallway in a hotel. Unless you, with access to any room, I mean, I would have to have, like, hotel-style locks on the doors. You're braver than I am if you do it, but you want to try this again tomorrow? Happy summer solstice, and we'll see you then.